kind of testimony will you be? What will your testimony be? Here we have the Apostle Paul in writing to his son in the faith, Timothy. Most believe that Paul had won Timothy to Christ, or at least nurtured him in a discipleship manner. And he's coming to the end of his life. We could say the Roman executioner is sharpening the axe, Brother Gilbert. He's getting ready to lose his life. And he comes and he exhorts Timothy in several ways in our text. The first thing he tells him is to preach the word. Amen. Listen, we're in sorry shape because there aren't preachers anymore. Amen. We need men of God filled with the Spirit of God who preach the book of God and tell us, thus saith the Lord, like it or lump it. That's what we need. Amen, amen, and amen. I appreciate preachers like that. You don't have to be rude. You don't have to be crude, but you can tell them, thus saith the Lord. And so he tells him, preach the word. He says, be instant in season, out of season. We were told while we were at Midwestern Baptist College, Brother Heath, be ready to preach, pray, or die at any moment. As a preacher, amen. Be ready to preach, pray, or die at any moment. And I think that's good advice right out of the Scriptures. He says, reprove. Reprove is when you pull somebody aside and say, hey, 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 that's not right. That's not right. Rebuke, that is more stern. Someone has said, private sin, private reproval. Public sin, public rebuke. Amen. People need to be rebuked that are in sin. Amen. What did Paul say to the church at Corinth in chapter 5? He said, listen, rebuke such a one that was literally in a fornication relationship with his stepmother. He said, rebuke him that others may fear. This is rebuke here. And then he says, exhort with all long suffering. Exhort to build up, to lift up. And I love that word long suffering. Aren't you glad God's long suffering? We're not. Okay, you are. I'm not. I'm confessing tonight. You're not long, or you are long. Listen, we all need work on patience, being more patient with people. Oh, he says, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Oh, I pray that doctrine would not be in this church just dusty theology books, because doctrine is exciting. The doctrines, the great doctrines. And so he's encouraging this young preacher. And then he says this, for the time will come when they'll not endure sound doctrine. Listen, there are churches and churches and churches that are not interested in what God says. They're interested in the program. They're interested in the entertainment. They're interested in what they can get out of the church. Listen, I think it's sad to say it creeps into every church. Listen, the folks that are away tonight, praise the Lord that they're gone with their families. There's some folks that should be here tonight, but they're not, Pastor John, because we don't have truth trackers going on. That's a shame. That's a shame, ladies and gentlemen. Listen, it ought to be that we long to hear the preaching of the Word of God. Well, there's some that have, they want preachers to itchy ears. They want preachers to tickle their ears. Heaven forbid. I heard a preacher say you ought to preach with your resignation in your Bible every week of the world, so you're not afraid of tiptoeing through the tithers. Amen, amen, and amen. If I ever get to the point where I'm tiptoeing through the tithers, Lord help me. I hope I'd have enough spiritual courage to resign. Now, I'm not looking forward to resigning. Amen. I love being your preacher. And you folks love preaching. I know you do. But here, there's a time when they'll come. They'll not endure sound doctrine. They'll turn away their ears from the truth. Shall be turned into fables. It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. This is a prophecy that's happening before our eyes. But then he tells them to watch. Be on guard. Endure afflictions. It's part of Christian life. Amen. Enduring afflictions. By the way, again, afflictions come to the saved and to the lost. You know, lost get through afflictions. Why shouldn't we that have the Holy Spirit of God be able to endure afflictions? And then he says, tell us to do the work in evangelists, make full proof of thy ministry. And then Paul goes on in his last dissertation. He said, I'm ready. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go and meet my Lord that I've served. And I've tried. And he goes on, he talks about that crown of righteousness which everyone that loves His appearing will get. By the way, if you look at it, and all rewards are earned, but Pastor John, I believe this is probably the easiest crown to earn. You just got to be looking forward to the coming of the Lord. You know, if you're looking forward to the coming of the Lord, you'll be putting away sin. Amen? If you really believe, Brother Jenkins, that the Lord would come, you know what? You wouldn't be in a bar. Amen. You wouldn't be renting some filthy video if you thought that the Lord could come back within the next 2 hours. Amen. And he goes on, and he says, do thy diligence, verse 9, to come shortly unto me. Why? Because his life was going to be over, Brother Jones. He wanted to see Timothy. And then he lists five characters that have five unique testimonies. And they are Demas, Crescens, Titus, Luke, and Mark. Each one with a unique testimony. And Paul here at the end of his life mentions these five, and he goes on to mention Carpus, and he mentions Alexander the coppersmith a little later. But we'll focus on these five tonight. At the end of his life, this great man of God took the time to mention these five. Listen, when my life comes to an end, I wonder what my testimony will be. I wonder what my testimony will be of others that I have ministered with. Here's Paul, the last of the apostles. And he says here, he mentions these five. And by the way, let me just say in passing, by way of introduction, no man is an island unto himself. You affect other people. It's Christmas time. Every year at Christmas time, there's always a few old Christmas movies I watch. And one I always watch is It's a Wonderful Life. Now, don't believe angels get their wings that way. Amen. The Bible says otherwise. But I like it, Brother Horsch. Amen. It blesses me. I remember one of the lines in there Mr. George Bailey, wished he'd never been born. He said, it's amazing how many lives one life touches. It's amazing. Ladies and gentlemen, your life touches someone, either positively or negatively. Well, listen, God takes us like a rock and throws us into the pond. And you know what happens when you throw a rock in the pond? Ripples. On every shore, there are ripples. And so, we all affect those around us. We all have a testimony for those around us. But I want you to notice these five in particular. The first one we're going to look at, that Demas had a testimony of, number one, he had a testimony of worldliness. Demas had a testimony of worldliness. Can we say this? Demas had a good start. Demas was one of Paul's companions on his missionary journeys. He saw incredible things. Demas not only had a good start, he had spiritual friends. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, he locked arms, he walked step with the greatest Christian that has ever tread the sod of this earth, the Apostle Paul. Not only did he have a good start, not only did he have spiritual friends, but he swerved, didn't he? He swerved. Look what it says in our text, for Demas hath forsaken me. Comma, why did he forsake you, Paul? Having loved this present world. Demas's testimony was one of worldliness. Listen, I am shocked. I am absolutely shocked at the worldliness and carnality of so-called veteran Christians. People that have been saved from their youth up. I'm shocked, Brother Wally, when I go on Facebook and people that are Christians recommend shows like Family Guy and The Simpsons. It's worldly, amen. It's worldly. It's wicked. It's straight out of hell. Listen to me. He had a testimony of worldliness. Worldliness. If you're a friend of the world, you're the enemy of God, the Bible says. I don't want to be God's enemy, Pastor John. By the way, can I say this about sites like Facebook and MySpace? All it is your heart. All that you put on your site is your heart just coming out. That's all it is. Demas had a testimony of worldliness. He looked at the sufferings of Paul, and eventually, Brother Jones, it just disgusted him. He was just sick of it. He said, I don't need this anymore. I'm going to go back to the world. No man that put his hand to the plow looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, the world is all around us. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. And it's time we started living like it. It's time that we stopped, listen, dealing with loving the entertainment of the world, loving the things of the world. I'm not saying you can't enjoy soccer. I'm not saying you can't enjoy this or that. But listen to me, some things are just flat wrong. And listen, there are moral lost people that know they're wrong. Amen. Listen, worldliness. Demas had a testimony of worldliness. Is that your testimony tonight? People look at you and say, spiritual Christian. Now, by the way, listen, there are always Judases out there. Judas fooled everybody except the Lord for 3.5 years. I understand that, but for some, it's absolutely obvious that you're worldly because you're flaunting it. The Bible says in Jeremiah that neither were they ashamed, they had a whore's forehead. What does that mean? Listen, a harlot does not blush at her sin. God wants us to blush at sin. God wants us to be ignorant concerning things which are evil. He had a testimony of worldliness. Paul looked at the end of his life. Pastor John, as the axe is getting ready to go down, he looks at Demas and he says, worldliness. Worldliness. What a terrible testimony at the end of a life of somebody that invested so much in Demas that he looked at him and said, not an ounce of spirituality, just worldliness. How sad. Secondly, not only a testimony of worldliness, and I bet some of you are glad I'm moving on to point number two. It gets better from here, I promise you that. Amen. We have a testimony of Crescens. Crescens. Look what it says there. Crescens to Galatia. Now there are three departures here in our text in verse 10. Only one is because of sin. Most Bible scholars believe the other two were at Paul's request. Crescens to Galatia. Crescens had a testimony of steadiness. The word Crescens means growing. Crescens had a testimony of steadiness. He quietly went to Galatia. He quietly went. He quietly worked for the Lord with the Apostle Paul. He didn't care that anybody knew his name, Brother Heath. He didn't care if he got his name in the sword of the Lord. He didn't care if he was in the who's who, what's what, or what's that. Amen. He was interested in steadily serving the Lord. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, these are the people that are the backbone of the local church. Steady people. Steady people. They're plodders. Amen. That's what we ought to be. Plodders. You know how you read your Bible through in a year? It's not by dynamic one day of just going through and speed reading your Bible. It's by plodding along. Brother Horst, you're getting ready to teach 1 Corinthians. How do you do that, Pastor? Just plodding along in your study. Just plodding along. How do I learn the great doctrines of the Bible? Just being steady. Just plodding along. Amen. He steadily worked. He steadily went. He steadily witnessed for the Lord. Listen, you won't win everybody. Is that right? Yeah, because some people just aren't willing to get saved. But you know what you ought to do? Steadily pass out gospel tracts. Just steadily keep doing it. Keep doing it. Keep sowing the seed. How do you plant the field? You don't do it all in one day. You know what you got to do? You got to go and plow it up. You got to get the ground ready. You got to get the rocks out, Brother Holy. Amen. You got to take the plow and do the furrows. You got to drop the seed in. He had a testimony of steadiness. Oh, that that would be your testimony tonight. Oh, that that would be my testimony. See that person right there? Man, they're steady. They're steady. They just go right along. Crescens had a testimony of steadiness. Demas had a testimony of worldliness. Titus had a testimony of trustworthiness. He had a testimony of trustworthiness. Demas was the one that Paul sent to Corinth, that church with all the problems. Who did he trust to send there, Brother Sammons? Titus. He trusted Titus. Then he sent him to Crete, and in Titus 1:5, he said, why did he send him to Crete? To set things in order. To ordain elders. Amen. He sent him there because he trusted him. And then lastly, he sent him to Dalmatia. Listen, can the Lord trust you? Listen, there are folks that always want to do the show things. I'm thankful it's not that way around here. I saw one of our dear brothers today. And I don't care if you like it or not, Brother Meyer. I saw you back there cleaning up. We had somebody get sick. Brother Mark Meyer was back there with a bucket and a towel cleaning up. That's serving the Lord. Amen. Listen, I want to do the big things. Can I tell you this? God's looking for people to straighten hymnals. God's looking for people to vacuum rugs. God's looking for people to clean toilets. Amen. God wants to see if He can trust us with the little things, and then He'll trust us with the bigger things. Titus, no doubt, as he walked with Paul and ministered with him, Paul said, this man has a testimony of trustworthiness, Brother Becker. He can be trusted. Can you? Do you have a testimony with the Lord of trustworthiness? Do you have a testimony of steadiness? Do you have a testimony of worldliness? Number four, it says in verse 11, only Luke is with me. Only Luke is with me. You know what Luke had a testimony of? Luke had a testimony of faithfulness. Luke had a testimony of faithfulness. You see, Luke had the privilege of walking with the Lord and seeing what the Lord did with his own eyes. Amen? And then he had the privilege not only of walking with the Lord, but walking with the Apostle Paul. And we know that Luke was a physician, and literally, if there was anybody that needed his own personal physician, Brother Joe, it was the Apostle Paul. All those beatings, all those stonings, all those railings, all that bad health that he'd collected, Luke stayed with him. Oh, that we would have a testimony like Luke, like faithfulness. Faithfulness. I don't know about you. I know I fail the Lord. I do. I have so many areas in my life that need to be worked on, Brother McGee. But I want to tell you this. Oh, I want to be faithful. I want to be faithful. I'd like to have my preacher one day, Pastor Eric Tharp, come and as he comes to the end of his life, what a blessing it would be to me, Brother Jones, for to say, Brother Zabotsky's faithful. Faithful. Listen, I'm not perfect, you're not either, and all God's people said, but we can be faithful. Oh, Luke, as he's watching Paul, everything he endured, he stayed by his side. Aren't you glad, those of you that are married, that your spouse is faithful? Amen. Wouldn't it be terrible if you were going through a terrible trial in your life and they said, goodbye? Well, that's what Demas did. He wasn't Paul's spouse, amen, but he was his co-laborer in the Lord. But Luke didn't do that. I don't think Luke said like Peter either, hey, listen, though all men forsake you, I'll never forsake you. I don't think he said that. I think he just stayed faithful. Stayed right by him. I think he probably said, Pastor John, I'm with you, brother. I'm with you, brother. I've seen how the Lord's used you. Listen, you think of all the people that Paul had won. Think of all the converts he had. Think of all the lives he'd affected. And at the end of his life, one person was with him. One person. One of the reasons I named my son Luke. That text right there. Luke is with me. Luke is faithful. Demas had a testimony of worldliness. Crescens had a testimony of steadiness. Titus had a testimony of trustworthiness. Luke had a testimony of faithfulness. And then lastly, very interesting, interesting verse. It says, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry? I don't think this is a word, Brother Cone, but Mark had a testimony of profitableness. I think it would be profitability, but it doesn't fit my outline. Amen. So it's getting changed. Amen. Profitableness. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, listen, you remember Mark, by the way, wrote the Gospel of Mark. Amen. But Mark was that cousin of Barnabas who was brought to Antioch and went with Paul and Barnabas on the first missionary journey. And we don't know what happened, what exactly it was. We can surmise perhaps it was the stoning at Lystra where John Mark said, you know what, I've had enough of this. I'm all set. I'm out of here. And he went back, and of course, as Paul and Barnabas finished up their journey, they went to look for companions to go out again. And Barnabas said, hey, let's take Mark. And Paul said, oh, no. No. He left us. He's a quitter. He stopped. We were out there doing the Lord's work, and he quit on us. And the Bible says the contention was so sharp between them, they couldn't even speak. But at the end of his life, Paul here says, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable for the ministry. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, that means a lot. You know, there's a little company. You may have heard of it. How many of you do any of your Christmas shopping online? Raise your hand. God bless you. I do too. Amen. How many of you have ever done business with a company called Amazon.com? How many? Several. Look at all the hands. Amen. Did you know for 7 years, hard to believe, those of you that know business, Brother Boston, your dad owned a business for years, for 7 years, Amazon.com operated in the red. They did not turn a profit for 7 years. 7 years without turning. Listen, I don't know about you. If I was the CEO, I'd be pulling my collar. 7 years without a profit. But you know what? Brother Wedge, their business model was so good that when the dot-com bubble burst, they increased. They not only got through it, they prospered and they began to turn a profit. You know, Mark had a good start and he had a bad middle. By the way, we all have some bad spots in our life. Don't look at me like you're a visitor from heaven. You never had pride in your life. You never had bitterness. You never had to deal with anything. No, no. John Mark saw something. I think probably Pastor Johnny got scared. He said, I don't know about that stoning business. I'm not sure about that. And he fled. Just like all the disciples did, by the way. Amen. All of them, including John, the apostle whom Jesus loved. They all fled. But he is a testimony, Mark is a testimony of profitableness. That idea of Proverbs 24:16. You say, what's that, Pastor? Let's go to Proverbs 24:16. Go there with me. Proverbs 24:16. Many of you know it. Many of you could quote it. I want you to look at it. Maybe you can mark it in your Bible. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 16. It says, the first part of the verse, Proverbs chapter 24, verse 16, for a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. You know what? I'm sure that there were probably some Pharisees that said, God's done with Mark. That's it. You know what? Not only were there some Pharisees, there were some Christians. Like at that time in his life, the Apostle Paul. Forget it. God's done with him. God's done with him. He quit on us. But at the end of his life, he saw that Mark turned around. And Mark repented. And Mark got up one more time than he fell. He got up one more time than he fell. And the Apostle Paul said, to Timothy, his beloved son in the ministry, hey, take Mark with you.
He's profitable. He'll help you. Yeah, you know what? He'll help you because He remembers His failures. That's one of the greatest things about failing. One of the worst things about failing and one of the greatest things about failing is remembering your failure. You know what? When we get into spiritual failures, it's always revolving around a lack of trust of God. See, His flesh said, flee. I'm sure if I know anything about the Bible, the Spirit of God said, stay. But He obeyed His flesh, didn't He? Listen, when you go back in your life looking at the times you failed God, remember it's when the flesh takes over. Amen? But here's the thing. Remember. Again, we've said it. Just get up one more time, then you fall. You say, well, what's the key to walking with God? Confessing your sins every time you sin. Amen? Confessing your sins, keeping short accounts with God. What do you mean? Do you mean you won't sin? Oh, no. There's nothing. You can look for sinless perfection in the Bible. You're not going to see it until resurrection day. But you know what you will see? You will see the ability to still walk with God, though despite being a sinner. Why? Keeping short accounts with God. For if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Mark had a testimony at the end of Paul's life as he's ready to be martyred for the faith. He said this, Mark has a testimony of profitableness. Luke has a testimony of faithfulness. Titus has a testimony of trustworthiness. Crescens has a testimony of steadiness. And sadly, Demas has a testimony of worldliness. What will your testimony be? Will it encompass some of these? Will it be a testimony of worldliness? You know, it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be. The Bible teaches us that we can repent. When we head in the wrong direction, God gives us repentance. Oh, thank God that we can repent. Hey, listen, I know there was a day in my Christian life, and not just one day early on, but several times that I was struggling with worldliness. I'm glad I could come to an old-fashioned altar and repent. We used to have at our church in Massachusetts, Pastor John, barrel burnings. I used to have to tell him, Brother DeCamp, bring a dumpster for me. I need my own dumpster, amen, to burn the stuff, get rid of the stuff in my life that was hindering me, stuff that was worldly. Maybe you just in your life, you're not a steady Christian. You're hit and miss. You know what you can do? You can repent. You say, listen, this year will be the year that I read my Bible every day. Every day. Oh, listen, I may not read chapters or books like other people, but I'm going to take time every day to read my Bible. Listen, what the church needs, what missionaries need on the field are steady Christians. It's not enough to just give one lump to the missions. I'm glad for that. I mean, I'm glad there's people that do that. But you know what we need for missions giving? Steady people. Steady people. Steady people. Steady people. Steadiness. How about trustworthiness? Can God trust you? Can God trust you to pray? Can God trust you to pray for missionaries? Maybe you need to just reckon with God and say, I need to be more trustworthy in the little things. How about faithful? Listen, I know I'm preaching to the choir on this one. You're here. You'll be here Wednesday. You'll be here for Sunday school. I know that. Faithfulness. I'll tell you what encourages a man of God is faithfulness from the people of God. I'm going to tell you, I know preachers that are dying on the vine, that are starving because those around them will not be faithful. Let's determine to be a Luke. Let's determine to be a Luke. Listen, as long as I'm not preaching heresy and living in sin, you know what I need? I need some Lukes. I need some Lukes. I need deacons that are Lukes. I need church members that are Lukes. I need Sunday school teachers that are Lukes. I need missionaries that are Lukes. Say, preacher, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm in your corner. And then, lastly, Mark had a testimony of profitableness. He got up. He dusted himself off. And he kept going for God. Oh, that we would have a testimony like that. Not of never falling, because none of us is perfect, but of profitableness. Let's bow our heads. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.